Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one.
Welcome back, Finn's family. Did you miss me? I missed you. Yeah, Finn's in the Sea took a little break away for a while. Really just tying into what I said to all you guys at the beginning of the season, which is I'm trying to maintain my level of enthusiasm. Since Tua's return, my enthusiasm's ramped up a little bit. Maybe I don't want to put that on tape just yet. So I've been kind of stepping back, letting the Dolphins fall into where they are, but game coming up this week, man. No way this can go by without having a breakdown, without having some feedback, without having just a take on this. If you ask me, there's no bigger game in lucky week number 13 than the Miami Dolphins traveling to the San Francisco 49ers. So many storylines, man. A lot of coming home. Jeff Wilson just recently traded from San Francisco, coming over to Miami. Wes Welker was a wide receivers coach there, wide receiver coach here. Yeah, of course, the obvious. Mike McDaniel, the student, going back to take on the teacher. And so there's just a lot of great storylines, even if this wasn't between two of the teams that are considered to be the top in each of their division. San Francisco is playing great ball right now, 4-1 over their last five. Of course, Miami 5-0 since Tua returned. And you know, really, teams that are winning different ways. Let's put it that way, okay? Coming into Sunday, we're going to be looking at the irresistible force versus the immovable object. You've got the Miami Dolphins, who are the third-ranked offensive unit in the National Football League, going up against the number one defensive unit in the National Football League. So, over the last five games, San Francisco, where they've been 4-1, have given up an average of 16.8 points per game. It's the lowest in the league. They have number one scoring defense, getting great pressure. I'll make an argument on how that number can be skewed to where it is as well, but we'll get there. On the flip side of that, since Tua's come back full-time with Miami Dolphins, they're averaging over 30 points a game. So you've got an offense averaging over 30, a defense only giving up 16. That's going to be your matchup. That's where it's going to come down to. But quietly, underneath all of this, the Miami Dolphins defense has started to come around. We're starting to see more and more signs. Ever since the Bradley Chubb, right? Bradley Chubb coming over, and he played on the short week against the Bears. But the last two games where he's been fully integrated into the defense, you've got teams that have given, you know, a total of 297 yards to the Cleveland Browns, a total of 210 to the Houston Texans. Arguments can be made. Houston's offense is anemic. Most of their stuff was in the second half once Miami took their foot off the gas, so to speak. But really, it's been controlling the rushing yards, two of the smallest totals that we've given up. Cleveland, who is predominantly a rushing offense, only giving up 112 yards to them. Ever since that Chicago game when Justin Fields embarrassed us, Justin busted off 178 yards on his own for, you know, 368 or of 252 on the ground. 178 of that was Justin. So, since Tua's gotten back, you're looking at a total of 11 touchdowns, no interceptions in the past five games. And this has been the offense growing more and more. Everybody knows about Tyreek. Everybody knows about Jalen Waddle. But we've started seeing other people get involved in this passing game more and more. Down to even fullback Alec Ingold. Cedric Wilson's made a couple of appearances. Trent Sherfield. River Craycraft. Tua has started to move the ball around as defenses have started to scheme to take away a little bit more of Tyreek or Jalen Waddle. Here's the thing, though. No matter who you are, you can only take away so much of that. Those quick slants and this offense set up to the timing of what Tua does so well, matching to what the receiver skill set is, it's almost impossible to stop. I've been a Dolphins fan since 1985. Okay? Long time. The white and the beard gives away the years. I cannot remember, even in the heydays of Dan Marino, getting the ball on offense and feeling like we had a chance to score every drive. And that's where we are. It's really, the offense looks almost unstoppable at times. Now, we've had some weak opponents as well, but either way, it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, anything can happen. And to watch this offense move the ball as effortlessly as they have is, it's really next level, man. Again, I'm trying to control my enthusiasm, my energy for where it's at, but I'm really excited about this because not only have you got that with the passing game, but since the addition of Jeff Wilson, we now have that two-headed running back that we thought we had at the beginning of the season with Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert. Chase Edmonds turned out not to be a fit. But Mike McDaniel, knowing the people that he knows well and what he did, making that move for Jeff Wilson, looking back at the end of this season, that's going to be one of the biggest moves that the Dolphins made. Everybody's going to point to the Bradley Chubb, and that's obviously already paying dividends. I mean, since Bradley Chubb came on, the sacks have steadily grown. Against Detroit, we had one sack. Chicago, two. Going to Cleveland, three. Houston, five. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing Chubb get pressure, which is starting to free up more with Melvin Ingram, Jalen Phillips. Those guys are coming on playing the role that we've needed them to play all year. So, secondary still banged up, but it's the trade, right? How do you do this? How do you make up for a beat-up secondary? You get pressure on the quarterback. Now, on the flip side of that, the offensive line has been playing great. Really holding back. I mean, up until last week, the second half, going into the second half of the Texans game, where we ended up giving up four sacks. That's a concern. And here's why that's a concern. Because we already know now Austin Jackson's out for the game on Sunday. So we're down one tackle. Even though he participated at the end of the week, Teron Armstead is doubtful for the game with a pec injury. When Armstead and Jackson were out against Houston, we saw what started to happen. The pocket collapsed fast. And you're looking at a guy, Tua, who hadn't been sacked in two games, all of a sudden couldn't keep people out of his face, and that's from Houston. Well, look, Dolphins, Houston's pass rush is nothing compared to what San Francisco brings. When you're talking about Bosa and the rest of this defense that just brings heat, that's a concern. So it's going to be interesting to see how McDaniel tries to attack that. I think you've got to get the run game more involved. Again, you've got to keep Jeff Wilson going. You've got to keep Raheem Mostert moving. Both those guys, again, they're homecoming. They've got something to play for. And going back with McDaniel. And, this is the start of a heck of a – this is going to be the litmus test for this Miami Dolphins team. I feel like – almost all year, the idea with Miami has been people are either extremely high on them or extremely low on them, right? We come through the first, win the first few games, beat Buffalo. They're just next level world beaters. And then we lose to Cincinnati. We lose to the Jets. We lose to Minnesota. And then everybody, they're just flawed team, fell apart. Tua comes back. Now we start winning again, but it's against lesser opponents. So everybody seems to have this knee jerk. They either push them way up or pull them way back. Well, here's the deal. We're going to find out over these next 4 weeks if we're ready for playoff football. Plain and simple. Starting this week with San Francisco and then going to L.A. to face the Chargers and Justin Herbert, the what could have been. The following week, which, say what you will about the Dolphins season. What does it say that a Miami Dolphins game got flexed to primetime? Unheard of. So I like that McDaniel's going to keep everybody out on the coast, right? Let's keep this wrapped up. Let's stay out there. And not so much about time differences. Here's what I like about it. What I like about it is when you travel as a team, the distractions of home are away from you, okay? And I mean that in distraction, it is what it is. It's family, it's friends, it's all your personal stuff. your entourage of whoever you are with players, when you're on the road and you travel together, you're forced to spend time together. You're forced to come together. At this point in the season, going into these games, rolling the way that we are, I think it is absolutely ingenious to get this team on the road for a week. This is that time for them to spend more time together. This is that time for not just in the playbooks, but outside of that. Because every great team that's won these Super Bowls and they make these long runs, man, look at them. Look at the Bengals last year. It was a group of people coming together as one and pushing toward this goal. It cannot hurt for the chemistry of this team to get them together. And, you know, stuff flies so far under the radar that people don't talk about. One of those is with Tua now. You know, the offensive meetings on Monday aren't even scheduled or set up by McDaniel. These are Tua-led groups. Tua bringing in the receivers and the quarterbacks and them getting together and watching game film and getting everybody's take on it and what they're doing. That's the sort of stuff in the leadership that's already starting to happen in the locker room. But now let's take it outside of that, because this team's going to need to grow and come together. There's going to be some adversity. We've answered some of it against teams that maybe we didn't need to in the Bears game, the Lions game, both way too close for comfort. But the last couple of weeks, as the defense has started to integrate Bradley Chubb more and come to this next level of where they're stepping up, the offense has started stepping up to this next level, so it's not just completely reliant on your Waddle and Hill, although those are great, great options to have. We're not reliant on those at this point. So we have an option of being able to work around that and find other things. You know, still, MIA has been Mike Gesicki and not really an impact, but he's always due, and the guy can come up and make a play at any given time. So that's with the Dolphins, we're going to find out who we are. You know, right now it's going to be a dogfight in the AFC East. And we get our shot coming back up, you know, over the next couple bits with the Jets and win Buffalo. And at that point in time, we're going to find out exactly, you know, where this division goes. Either way, we're in a really good spot for a playoff position. I do think it's important for the Dolphins to try to it's important for everybody, but I think this year especially, this is the first year in, geez, the last two decades that the Dolphins have had multiple sellouts, that season tickets are sold out to the Miami Dolphins. And if you listen to Dolphins games and watch Dolphins games the way that I have, this has been a different stadium and a different fan base this year. They really are embracing this. They really are making a difference. Playing at home is a huge advantage. One, you can say for the sun, because whoever designed that stadium did a hell of a job. One sideline's a lot hotter than the other. And whether you want to think that or not, that's going to matter too coming down the road in the playoffs. I don't buy into the whole Miami can't play in cold weather. That was an older thing, man. I think this team is more designed to do that with the running game, the quick strike. So I'm not worried about that. I think it's just reward this fan base, get them a home playoff game. And there I go. I'm thinking too far down the road. So look, let's reverse off that. I'm going to come back to San Francisco. Here's what concerns me. Offensive line being hurt, it's a big concern, because San Francisco's pass rush, their defense is fantastic. So having a beat-up offensive line going into this game is not where you want to be. As the offensive line goes, so goes this offense, plain and simple. Tua is quick to get rid of the ball. It's timing. I get all that progressions. But if, you know, like we saw when Armstead went out and Austin went out against Houston, the way that it opened up was scary. So, you know, we're going to have Benny Snell and Greg Little really step up this week to maintain. And hopefully McDaniel's got a couple of tricks in his bag where he can roll some extra protection, whether we got to come in with Smythe and, you know, some of the other better blocking tight ends. I don't know, but we've got to get protection for Tua. On the offensive side, here's what concerns me. Miami traditionally has problems with three types of players on offense, okay? Believe it or not, the speedy wide receiver that is a playmaker is not really the Achilles heel for this Dolphins team. Not that Xavien Howard's been the X of old, but Xavien Howard can usually hold that in check. When you look back at guys that we played, like the Jamar Chase and with the Stephon Diggs and you know, all of these guys, we've held them in check. Amari Cooper, they didn't go off. Okay, so that's not the big concern. One concern is tight end. a very capable tight end for as long as I can remember the Dolphins. I don't understand it. Different players, different personnel, different scheme, different coordinators. Tight ends give us problems. Tight ends and covering the tight ends always are an Achilles heel. And San Francisco has one of the best in the game at George Kittle. So I'm hoping again with Chubb and Phillips and those guys being able to upset the apple cart a little bit in the front and get a little more pressure is going to affect how quickly and how easily they can get the ball out to Kittle and allow. I mean, Landon Roberts has had a really, really good year. Jerome Baker doing the same thing. But coverage of tight ends is a problem for us. And with the secondary kind of beat up the way that it is, it's not like we can roll in a Nick Needham or somebody like that, or even, you know, Brandon Jones coming down to help out in that situation. So that's a problem, okay? The other thing that really gives us a problem, go back to Chicago, is a mobile quarterback. You know, if you want to go all the way back to the Baltimore game in the beginning of the season, you know, Lamar Jackson had us on the ropes because we couldn't control or maintain what he was going to be able to do as a mobile quarterback. And then, you know, in the Chicago game, Justin Fields runs for 178 yards. Against Buffalo, Josh Allen still kind of ate us up, even though we stayed in that game and ended up winning that. Mobile quarterbacks give the Dolphins problems. Jimmy G's not that mobile, okay? So in this case, we're way better off having Jimmy G in this game than Trey Lance. Trey Lance would be a much more concerning factor to me here. The other part that really gives us problems is our quick backs who catch the ball. See Joe Mixon, see Breece Hall, see Dalvin Cook, right? See CMC. Christian McCaffrey is off the injury report, looks like he's going to be good to go. That is going to be a matchup problem that concerns me throughout the game. Maintaining and keeping him contained, really. I mean, you can't, again, expect to stop him. Deebo Samuel's questionable, but I doubt there's any chance he's not going to play. Now, once you get past Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell is out. The rest of that running back stable in San Francisco that used to be filled up with the Jeff Wilsons and the Raheem Mosterts has gotten a lot lighter since the Christian McCaffrey. You know, Elijah Mitchell out again with the injury. Also on their offensive line, Trent Williams is questionable. So that could play in well for the Dolphins and the defense and the pass rush coming through. Ultimately, Christian McCaffrey is a concern. Deebo Samuel is always a concern, 100%. Even with him being questionable, again, I don't see there's any way he doesn't play. I think Xavien Howard and Javon Holland are really going to be shadowed up on him pretty good. Brandon Ayuk, I mean, look, San Francisco is talented. This really kind of is almost the yin and the yang, the AFC-NFC version of almost the same team. You know, not quite. You know, but you've got quarterbacks who rely on accuracy. You've got receivers who rely on after the catch. You've got defenses that are coming on and playing more solid. So it's going to be a very interesting matchup. And it's going to give us a really, really good idea of where we stand this late in the season. So personally, I still feel pretty good about this. The offensive line being down is a concern. That's worrying. But, you know, knowing that the McDaniels can scheme around this. He knows weaknesses, he knows strengths, and we can hopefully play around that. The bigger part of this is going to be, I don't think that the Dolphins are going to come out and put up 30. I don't. Not against this defense, not with the injuries on the offensive line. But that's okay, because I don't think we need to score 30. What's really going to be crucial here is the defense and how they play. How does the defense stack up? How is the defense going to hold San Francisco? And I think that you've got to get pressure. You've got to get pressure like you have against Cleveland, like you have against Houston. You've got to get in Jimmy G's face, right? Jimmy G over the last five games, you know, you're still looking at there, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception. So they're not turning the ball over much. You know, it's they really are, you know, outside of the Kansas City Chiefs game. And I think that's where I'm looking at this one more or less, right? The Kansas City Chiefs, 5 weeks ago, stepped up and they beat the 49ers. It was their last loss, 44-23. In that game, they gave up 529 yards of offense, 417 through the air, 112 on the ground. They turned the ball over 3 times. That, to me, I'm not yet putting Miami's offense in that Kansas City boat, but it's real close. So I think Miami has a very similar scheme and playmakers to be able to put that kind of pressure on San Francisco's defense and can push the score. I don't know that it's going to get to 30 again. I don't see that. You know, when I say averaging 16.8 points a game from the defensive standpoint for San Francisco, it is important to look at outside of that Chiefs game. You had the Rams, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Saints. Injuries abound through all of those teams coming in. None of them at full strength. Take it for what it is. Now, but on the flip side, when you look at the Dolphins averaging the 30 points, that's been against the Steelers, the Lions, the Bears, the Browns, and the Texans. Okay, not your most stiff defenses. So you've had a defense that's been feasting on weaker offenses, and you've had an offense that's been feasting on weaker defenses. So this is going to be an interesting game in that we're evenly matched here. Okay, I don't think one has a tremendous advantage over the other, which is putting me to that. I don't think we're going to score 30, but I think it's going to be more than 16. I'm looking somewhere in the range here, 24-17. I think what it really comes down to is Miami has that ability now to break a big play when it's much needed, even if that's just a pass interference call down the field. There's speed and playmakers who can make a difference in this. And I think offensively, San Francisco loves to run the ball, but it's going to be a lot harder for them to just straight up line up and run the ball if Trent Williams isn't in the game. And also without Elijah Mitchell, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, again, is an all-around back. The guy is fantastic. But if you got to line him up and give him the ball 20 times to run between the tackles, he's not Derrick Henry. He's not going to grind you down. McCaffrey is more that guy that when he gets to the outside, he catches a swing, the screen, those sort of things, and the damage that he can cause. So if we can contain their running game and put this game squarely on Jimmy G's shoulders, put it on Jimmy G's shoulders, and if it really comes down to it on both sides, you got to look at who you trust more in this situation. And maybe I'm biased. Of course I'm biased. I'm a Dolphins fan. But I trust Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle more than I trust Jimmy G, Kittle, Debo, and McCaffrey, right? I also think that Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert really are a great 1-2, the way that we're using them and utilizing them to their strengths. Alec Ingold coming out of the backfield at fullback has really been a next level thing on that as well. And I think these are the games where Bradley Chubb makes that difference because we need that extra heat, that extra pressure. Even if it's just a roll toward him and it opens up Melvin Ingram like it did last week, or Jalen Phillips, so he's getting more one-on-one, getting that pressure and putting this game squarely on Jimmy G's shoulders, I think that's where the Dolphins find their path to victory. So, you know, it's going to be a great game. It's not going to be one of those layback easy ones. You know, the last couple of weeks with the Browns and the Texans, the Dolphins handled business. The good news about that is, though, if you look at the 2 weeks before that, the Lions and the Bears, we didn't really handle business. We won, but we didn't handle business. We didn't play to the talent disparity that we should have. The last 2 weeks we have. Against the Cleveland Browns, against the Texans, we have played to what that talent gap is. And I think this Dolphins team is ready to continue on this run moving forward. This West Coast swing is going to be a big one. It's going to be a telltale. But I think San Francisco, I've said this, if you watched our FL teams live for power rankings or anything else, then you know how I feel. I don't know what it is, but San Francisco, I just don't buy them. I haven't bought them. I didn't buy them last year. I didn't buy them the year before. And I understand that they keep being at the top of the division. I mean, they're still one of the best teams in the NFC and people's little darling to make a run. And I don't know. I don't know what it is, man. I can objectively look at other teams and I can appreciate what they are. Like, I look at the Eagles and I see how great that the Eagles look this year. I look at the Vikings and see that offense. I can look at, you know, Kansas City, of course, Buffalo, all of these teams, and I recognize where they fit. Tennessee. San Francisco just doesn't hit for me, man. I don't understand it. It doesn't say I'm taking them lightly. Again, you know, you've always heard me throw this one back to you are who you are. You are what your record says you are right now. And right now they're one of the best teams in the NFC. Just because I'm not buying in full-heartedly doesn't mean it ain't right. So I think this is going to be, again, a great game to show where both these teams sit. And preparing for this stretch run coming up on, you know, where this season is going to ultimately end up. So for me, I think the Dolphins win a hard-fought victory. I'm really excited about the situation, the way it's going. So far this year, when Tua starts and finishes the game, Dolphins are undefeated. I think Tua has proven a lot of doubters wrong. A lot of that has to do with the way that this offense has been set up to succeed for his skill set. On the same note of that, I think San Francisco is playing really well. And it really is going to be interesting to see these teams. Like I said, the very talented San Francisco defense has played subpar offenses the last 4 weeks, right? The one not subpar offense they played, the Chiefs put 44 on them. Above average Miami Dolphins offense has been playing subpar defenses. Well, this week, everything comes back to a level playing field. If you're a betting man, no matter which side you feel on this, you take the points. This is not going to be a blowout either way. It's going to be a tight game, but I think Miami gets a big win here. I think this team really plays hard for McDaniel. I think they understand and know what this means to Mike McDaniel, and I think this is the next progression for this young team to take that step. So with that being said, it's Jeremiah Hensley joining you all, your favorite amphibian in a pod of dolphins, right? JFrog817 on all your socials. Check it out. Try to on Sundays during the Dolphins game. Give a little TikToks here and there, little updates and interviews on where I feel and recaps. Make sure you're going to check out FL Teams. FLteams.com is in full swing. We got some really cool new things coming through. You're going to hear about, as we talked about a little bit on the power rankings. Every Wednesday night is FL Teams Live. Myself, Jeff Macalino, usually Young Goat Isaac will jump in and join us. So with that being said, man, Jeremiah Hensley, missed you all. Hopefully it won't be so long before we see each other again. Gonna be a heck of a game at 4:00. Fins up.